Now we're going to turn in our Bibles this morning again to the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 2 and the verse 21. And we're going to move from the verse 21 down to and including the verse 35. And we're continuing or finishing actually our short series on Advent worship. And we're coming now to Simeon's song. So we're looking at Luke chapter 2 and the verse 21. The word of God says, "And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of my people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Amen. We'll finish at verse 35, and we know that God will bless this reading of his word to our hearts this morning. So as we've said over the past couple of weeks, we've focused upon the various songs, the various incidents of praise leading up to the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. We noticed first of all Elizabeth and the blessing in God's promise, and then we saw Mary and the blessing in God's provision. Then we moved on last Lord's Day to Zacharias and the blessing in God's power, and then the angels and the blessing in God's peace. Well, this morning we're going to look at Simeon and the blessing in God's preparation. Since we last came together, or since we last considered these passages, we have had Christmas Day, that particular day itself when we celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there was praise in the run-up to his birth. There was praise at the time of his birth. There was praise on the night of his birth. But the praise didn't stop after Jesus had been born. And we're now looking at praise after his birth. So we're going to conclude this short series considering Simeon's song. And as we do that, we want to look and see what we can learn from this occasion. When the Lord Jesus, as just a baby, was brought by his mother Mary and by Joseph to the temple in Jerusalem. And they were brought to Jerusalem, it tells us. They brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord in verse 22. So in these opening verses of our reading this morning, what we find first of all is that there were certain requirements according to Jewish law which had to be fulfilled. And those requirements were fulfilled by the parents of the baby Jesus. And it was important to demonstrate that the Lord Jesus was under the law, in a sense, certainly, and that's why these things are recorded for us in these opening verses that we've read this morning. Remember over in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4, the Apostle Paul was writing, and as he wrote there to the church in Galatia, he wrote these words. He said, when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. So what we have here in Luke chapter 2 is that being worked out in practice. And Paul was able to write about it following on from that in later years. These various actions which were required by the law, by Jewish law, were fulfilled by his parents. And in the passage that we read, there are at least three of these practices or these rituals which were fulfilled and are outlined for us in this passage. You see, it tells us, first of all, in verse 21, that he was circumcised. Look at verse 21. It says, when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus. He was circumcised on the 8th day after his birth. Circumcision is something which is a sign or a token of the Abrahamic covenant that God had made with Abraham. And that's outlined for us in Genesis chapter 17. So what we have here is this first ritual, as it were, this first practice, which was being fulfilled under the law. The Lord Jesus Christ was circumcised after 8 days. John Phillips, the Bible commentator, tells us that the Lord Jesus' circumcision identified him with the ruined race which he had come to save. So it identified him with us. On a natural level, it identified him as a member of the Jewish nation and a member of the Abrahamic covenant. So there is that identification there that is found where Christ is identified with those who he had come to save. He was circumcised, and that identification is there. But in line with that circumcision, it was also custom that baby boys would be named on the same day in which they were circumcised. So we see that it tells us that here. It says, and when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus. And it even tells us that it was, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. His declared name was Jesus. His parents have named him Jesus. That was the name given to both Joseph and to Mary by the angel. His name is there. His name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Second Jewish ritual, which was fulfilled in our reading this morning, was the purification. You come to verse 22. It says, and when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. So we have the purification ritual. This involved the mother of newborn children having to be purified. And in the event of a boy being born, and you'll find this back in the Old Testament, I think it's Leviticus chapter 12, you'll find there how it tells us that when a boy was born, the mother was considered to be ceremonially unclean for 40 days. So we've come on now. This is not the same day of the circumcision. It says when the days of the purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished. So we're now 40 days after the birth. At the end of those 40 days, a mother would come to the temple. So they've come to the temple in Jerusalem, and she would make a sacrifice. Now, when you go back to Leviticus chapter 12, you see there that the sacrifice could be a lamb and a pigeon or a lamb and a turtle dove. But there was a recognition, there was an alliance for those who were poor, that they could bring 2 turtle doves or 2 pigeons. From Luke's account here, when you come down to verse 24, you see it says, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. So what does that tell us? Well, that shows us that the Lord Jesus Christ didn't come to a palace. The Lord Jesus Christ didn't come to a rich and wealthy family. The Lord Jesus Christ was born to a poor family. Mary and Joseph were poor people, because it refers specifically to the offering of the poor person. And there's a picture in that for us of our Lord Jesus Christ and his character. It shows us his humility. That the one who was and is the King of Glory, the one who was and is part of the Godhead, had humbled himself to the very lowest place in order to come to be the Savior of the world. Remember what Paul wrote over in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 7, when it says there that he made himself of no reputation. So what do we see here? We see his circumcision and his naming. We see the purification, the mother's purification. But do you know what it tells us, or what it shows us whenever we see the purification of Mary? It shows us that she needed a Savior. You see, the offering that was made under the confines of the law. And the offering that was made demonstrated that she was submitted to that, and she had the need for a substitute who could provide cleansing. We noticed this when we looked at Mary a couple of Lord's Day evenings ago, how she needed a Savior. My soul hath rejoiced in God my Savior, she said. And here we have this worked out in practice as she comes for this ritual of purification, this recognition that she was unclean. So she's come to the temple in Jerusalem on that particular day. She brought with her the one who would fulfill all of the various types of the Old Testament offerings. But on that day, she was obedient to all that was required of her. So we have the circumcision and we have the purification, but notice also the presentation of the firstborn son. Look at the end of verse 22. They brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Now, this is an important ritual. This is an important practice. Back in Exodus chapter 13, God had stipulated that firstborn sons belonged to him for service. And then God instituted that the tribe of Levi was for service as priests in the temple. And you read about that in Numbers chapter 18. And he talked about how the firstborn son then could be redeemed by the parents or could be bought back by the parents. They came to the temple. They made a payment. The payment was 5 shekels. And in Luke chapter 2 and verse 22 and 23, it says, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord. Every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. You reference that across to Numbers chapter 18, verse 15, and you'll find there that the 5 shekel payment could be made. The Lord Jesus Christ was presented to the Lord. The price of 5 shekels would be paid by Mary and Joseph. This is all recorded for a purpose. It's all here for a reason. These things might seem very complicated in some ways, but there's a reason why it's in the Word of God. It's to demonstrate, I think Warren Wiersbe puts it well when he says, it's to demonstrate that the Lord's relationship to the law is an important part of his saving ministry. Because he was made under the law, and though he rejected man's traditions, he obeyed God's law perfectly. He bore the curse of the law for us and set us free from bondage. So they've come now to the temple, and it's important for us to remember these things as they have come that day to the temple. The baby is perhaps 40 days of age, 40 days old. And on this same day, as they come to the temple, we come now to verse 25, and we see Simeon appearing on the scene. Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout. That's the description of his character. That's his testimony. Just and devout. Devoted to the Lord. Just in his actions and in his behavior and in his words. Beloved, this morning, that's a testimony that's worth having. To be devoted to the Lord. And to be just in our practice and in our actions, if that was what people said about us, that would be something worth having said about us. Simeon comes to the temple and he's been brought to the temple because the Holy Ghost has brought him to the temple. It tells us that the Holy Spirit has moved in his heart. And as he comes to the temple, there's 3 things that we need to learn from his encounter with this baby. A baby who would change the world. A baby who would change history. The Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to notice, first of all, the promise. The promise that was given to Simeon. Look verse 25 down to verse 27. It says, behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation or the comfort of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then he took him up in his arms and blessed God. I want you to notice something in these verses. In these verses, we have the promise which is given to Simeon. But I want you to notice, first of all, the fact that this is the only time that Simeon's mentioned in all of Scripture. We don't find him mentioned again anywhere else. And that's an important point. Because despite the fact that Simeon might appear to be insignificant in some senses, he's not really seen, I suppose, right through the pages of Scripture. He's not mentioned before. He's not mentioned after. He would appear as an insignificant character in some ways, but he's not insignificant to God. He's important enough, even though in the eyes of the world, and perhaps other than the people who knew him closely, no one really thought an awful lot about him. He may have been unknown to many people, but the Lord had made a promise to him. The Lord, through his Spirit, had made a promise to Simeon. Look at what it says, verse 26. It was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. God worked in this man's life. This man had a devoted relationship with the Lord, and the Lord spoke with him and talked with him and communed with him in such a way that he had this promise from God. What a promise it was that he had received. He was devoted to the law. He was devoted to the prophecies. He was devoted to the pictures of the Messiah that were contained within the Old Testament. That's the image which is presented to us here. This was a man who loved God. And he was waiting on the promised Messiah, waiting for the consolation of Israel. Even his name has significance. His name means hearing. This is a man who was reading. He was studying the prophecies. He was listening to the Spirit of God as it prompted him in his heart. He was actively seeking to know the truth from the Word of God as it had been revealed to him. The whole picture of Simeon is of a man of deep, of great faith. Over in Romans 10 and verse 17, Paul tells us that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And as you look at this character, Simeon, and we think about him just for a few moments this morning, we realize that he was hearing God. He was listening attentively, not just with his ears, but with his spirit, seeking to know the Word of God revealed unto him. There's something else that struck me as I read this passage, and I'd never really thought about it before until I studied this passage. You see, we have this idea when we think about Simeon that this is a very, very old man. And perhaps he was. But we get that idea because it says in verse 29 that Simeon said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. Simeon's been given a promise by the Holy Spirit. And that promise has been fulfilled at this particular time. And so therefore Simeon then just simply says to the Lord, let me now depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. The promise that had been given to Simeon had been fulfilled. But the reality is that it's likely that he was an old man who had been diligently searching the Scriptures for many years, someone who had been waiting upon Messiah for many years. But we don't know that for certain. We don't know that for certain. But it is likely that he was an old man. What I would put to you, however, is this, is that in the fulfillment of the promise to him, I believe that Simeon didn't live long after this. We never read about him again. He's never mentioned again in Scripture. This is a promise that he had received, and by faith he had waited patiently for the coming Messiah. And now the Messiah had come. Notice the title that he gives to the one he was waiting for. He calls him the consolation of Israel in verse, or talks about the consolation of Israel in verse 25. That word consolation has the thought of comfort. In Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 1, you'll read these words where it says that the prophet says, comfort ye my people, saith your God. God is speaking comfort. Now that word in Isaiah 40 is the Hebrew equivalent of the Greek word used in Luke chapter 2, translated as consolation. And what's really coming here is this picture that the Messiah would bring comfort to his people. Simeon was waiting on that. He was a Spirit-led believer. It tells us that on three occasions, verse 25, 26, and 27. It says in verse 25, the Holy Ghost was upon him. In verse 26, it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost. In verse 27, he came by the Spirit into the temple. You see, on the day that the Lord Jesus had been brought into the temple by Mary and by Joseph to fulfill these requirements, it tells us that Simeon had been brought by the Holy Spirit to the temple on this day. For this very special reason. You know, as I think about Simeon, I imagine that every day Simeon, as he was engaged in his activities, perhaps as he came to the temple day after day, he looked at every young couple who appeared in Jerusalem with a baby boy. He'd been given this promise by the Holy Spirit that he would see the Messiah during his lifetime. That would have changed his outlook. That would have changed his perspective on things. He would have looked with new eyes on every occasion that a young baby boy was brought to the temple. As I thought about all of this, I was struck by two things about what was happening in Simeon's life. The first thing was this. We see evidence again the faithfulness of God to his people. Because God has given this just, this devout man a promise. And God delivered on that promise. And time again, as you read scripture, we find this to be the case that God is faithful to his promises. Scripture outlines many occasions where the Lord has promised to deliver his people. It outlines many occasions when he has promised to be with his people. When he's promised to meet the needs of his people. And he fulfilled those promises. What's different today? Nothing. It's still the same today. It is the same God. Our God remains faithful to us as his people. And if we're truly looking to live for him and seeking to live our lives in accord with his words, we will be able to trace back in the past year, even in 2020, a year unlike others that we've experienced, even through the many challenges that we've faced as individuals in 2020, even through the challenges that are faced by churches in 2020, and even for the challenge that we have gone through as an assembly in 2020, we have to recognize, we have to understand that when we look back, we can see that God has still been faithful to his people. Hebrews 13 and verse 5. It says this, that the Lord says, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. And the writer there in Hebrews 13 was speaking about our contentment. He's speaking there about how we have all that we need when we have Christ. And so we do. We have the faithful promise of God that he will always be there for us as his people. Simeon understood that. It's evidenced here. The faithfulness of God to his people. But not only do we see the faithfulness of God, but we see the faith of the servant of God. Because it tells us there in verse 25 that Simeon was waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was waiting. He was waiting on the first appearing of the Messiah. He was anticipating his coming. He had the promise of God that he would send the Messiah. And you know, there's many others who would have read the same words in the Old Testament scriptures as Simeon. Many others who thought about the Messiah, but they weren't waiting with the same expectancy that he had. There were many who were looking for the Messiah. And as we read about them, they didn't accept him when he came. They didn't accept him for who he was. But Simeon, this man who was just and who was devout, Simeon recognized him immediately because Simeon was looking through the lens of faith. Are we living our lives looking through the lens of faith? You see, there's the same requirement for faith in God's people today. We're not waiting for the first coming of the Lord. We're waiting for the second coming. We're waiting for his coming to the air. And we're to be waiting faithfully and patiently and diligently as Simeon has done with an expectation that it could happen at any time. In fact, we ought to be waiting with a hope and an anticipation that it could be today. that the Lord could return today. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if the Lord was to return today? Do you believe that? Do you actually think about it? Do you think about the fact that if the Lord returned today, what a joy it would be for the Christian? And as we look around at a world which appears as though it's gone mad, where right's wrong and wrong's right apparently, and we as believers, sometimes we wonder where to turn. Here's the thing, are we expecting His coming? Because we ought to be. Are we anticipating His coming? Are we desiring His coming? Beloved, this morning, do we have that desire? Do we have that anticipation? Or are we living for tomorrow? Are we just living, not even thinking about it? Are we just going through the motions? We can learn here about the faithfulness of God, but we can also see displayed for us the faith of the servant of God. We see His promise, but I want you to see His praise. And look with me at verse 28 down to verse 33. And we see this praise as he realizes, as he has this experience. It says, "Then he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." What do we see here? First of all, it tells us that he took him up in his arms and blessed God. Can you imagine this? This faithful servant who's been patiently waiting, diligently seeking for the Messiah, he now holds the hope of the world in his arms. The one he's been waiting on has come. Is it any wonder that he breaks out in praise with these words from verse 29 to verse 32? Simeon is looking into the face of his Savior. And this baby in his arms. He's overcome with joy. He's overcome with a sense of peace and satisfaction within his soul because the Messiah has come. And he lifts his voice in worship to God. And he lifts his voice with thankfulness for what the Lord has done for him. How God has blessed him. He refers to the promise which he had been given. First of all, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. Thanks the Lord for his faithfulness. God has promised, God has delivered. And then he declares this great truth that because Simeon has seen the Messiah, Simeon's ready to die. Do you know, Simeon's not afraid to die. We don't see any sense of fear. Now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. He's ready to go at any time because in one sense here, his faith has been fulfilled in sight. He's seen God's salvation. He's seen the promise. He's seen the Messiah. And this shows for us the sufficiency of God's salvation. Because it's not about Simeon. It's not about his work. It's not about his devotion. It's not about his character. It's all wrapped up in the person and work of Jesus Christ. That's what Simeon is saying here. One commentator refers to the word depart in this verse. Now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. And he says that this speaks about the death of the Christian. The death of the one who's trusting in the Messiah. See, there's a picture here for us as God's people. There's an awful fear of death in these days. We hear more about it because of COVID and everything else. And there is this awful fear. And yet for God's people, the fact is that we ought not to be afraid to die. Because as one preacher put it one time, all death can do to the Christian is deliver them to Jesus. That's the truth. For the believer who passes away, we simply move from the burdens of this life to the blessings of eternity. Simeon here has seen God's salvation. He says, "Let thy servant depart in peace." Can I ask you this morning? Maybe you're sitting at home and you're listening in and you're not saved, have you seen God's salvation in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm speaking to you this morning, unbeliever. You see, at this time of year, we particularly celebrate the birth of Christ. At this time of the year, we have everything that goes on. And it's a celebration in one sense, and certainly for God's people, it's a celebration of the birth of Christ. But the fact is that the birth was for the purpose of dying for lost sinners, and that's you. And you know the truth. Maybe you've heard it many times. You know that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Can I ask you, are you like Simeon? Are you able to say that you've seen God's salvation? Have you recognized in Christ Jesus the one who came to be your Savior, or are you rejecting him yet? You know, Simeon went on in this song to speak about the scope of God's salvation. We've had the sufficiency, but we see the scope of it. Look in verse 31 and verse 32. He says, "Which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." Do you notice there the preparation? Thou hast prepared. God prepared the way of salvation. God planned the way of salvation. Over in 1 Peter, I think it is, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, the Word of God says this about our redemption. It says, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." You see, God planned salvation. God prepared salvation. That's what Simeon is saying here. "Which thou hast prepared before the face of all people." Do you know, it demonstrates for us here that the offer of the gospel is an offer for all mankind. It's not an offer for the few. The gospel message goes out to all mankind. It is for Gentile and it is for Jew alike. Tells us there in verse 32, "A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." One commentator wrote about the importance of this for us as Gentile believers. He said this, he says, "We were sung about in a Jewish temple by a prophet as he held the Messiah in his arms." We were sung about on this day, "A light to lighten the Gentiles." Do you know there's a wonderful picture in this song of praise which Simeon has declared for each of us? And here's the thing. It's prepared before the face of all people. It's a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. But if you're listening this morning and you're not saved, I want to say something to you. I want you to understand that the gospel message is for you. And if you reject it, you remain willingly unsaved. You might say, "But I have plans to get saved. I intend to get saved someday, but not yet." If you were cut off tonight, if you were cut off today, you enter eternity willingly unsaved. You have heard the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ and you have rejected it. The Word of God tells us that Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is the only hope for sinners. And Simeon here, immediately, he saw the Messiah. He was led there by the Spirit of God. And he saw him, he recognized him, he worshipped him, and he praised him. And he had a peace that the world had never given him in all of his years, because he was waiting on God's promise. And now God's promise had been delivered to him. You can have that too. You need to come to Jesus. Maybe you're listening this morning and you're saved. And just like Simeon, I want to ask you a question as you're a believer and as you contemplate what you have in Christ, as you contemplate God's salvation, as you contemplate this plan of God's salvation, how God has prepared salvation for us. Is your heart being led out in praise like Simeon's was? Because it should be. We have this peace that's being spoken about here. We have it in Christ because he is our peace. And if we have it, if you have it, and praise Him. Praise His holy name. Do you know, we praise Him and we continue to praise Him while we wait for His return. And then when we see Him face to face, we will praise Him forevermore. And we'll praise Him in a way that we can't truly comprehend. You know, over this last while, we've been in the situation when we've been in the building even, that we have to sing softly. We can't sing out as we would love to sing out. We can't praise the Lord in song as we would love to. But there's coming a day when we're in the presence of the King that we will praise Him in a way that we can't understand. And even the greatest praise that we are part of, even the greatest praise that we might experience here in this side of eternity, will pale into insignificance compared to the glory of that day. You see, we're ready to meet Him. We can meet Him at any time. And we'll praise Him forevermore. And that should be our comfort and our hope today. We see His promise and we see His praise. But I want you to notice very quickly, Simeon now turns to his prophecy. In verse 34 and verse 35, it says, "And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy soul also, thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts shall be revealed." So he turns now to Mary. And as he turns to Mary and he speaks to her, and Mary has already heard him praising the Lord for the birth of the Messiah. Mary has already been told by the angel Gabriel who her son would be. But now he turns to her and he speaks directly to her. There's a personal element in this prophecy which is for Mary. But first of all, there is a section here which is for us. I want you to notice that. There's three things which are prophesied in just these two verses. First of all, Simeon says, "Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel." Think for a moment or two just about this. There's a description of Messiah which is given in different places throughout Scripture. He's called the stone or the chief cornerstone. We find it in the Old Testament. We find it in the New Testament. Psalm 118, verse 22, it says, "The stone which the builders refused has become the headstone of the corner." And then over in Acts 4 and verse 11, Peter, as he's standing there before the Sanhedrin, he declares this same truth. He identifies it as Jesus. He says, "This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner." So we have Christ identified as the chief cornerstone. He's rejected by Israel. He's rejected by the Jewish people. But the prophet Isaiah told us that that would happen. In Isaiah 8, verse 14 and 15, he says, "But for a stone of stumbling and for a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel." Goes on and says, "And many among them shall stumble and fall." Romans 9 and 32, Paul wrote about Israel. Paul's writing there about Israel. He says, "They sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone, as it is written, Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense." So what's Simeon speaking about in his prophecy here? Well, he's speaking about the same thing. "Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel." Simeon's speaking here, first of all, about how many in Israel, the Jewish people, would fall against him. He would be that stumbling stone and rock of offense. In fact, he continued on with that when he said that he would be a sign which shall be spoken against. And the word sign in this case that Simeon is using, it speaks about revealed truth. For a revealed truth which shall be spoken against. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ was the manifestation in bodily form of the promise of God to send a Messiah. The Messiah had come. That was the revealed truth of the Word of God. But they rejected Him. And not only did they reject Him, but they spoke against Him. They reviled Him. They rebuked Him. They said He was of the devil. They said He was a fraud. And the sad thing is that they still do. The Jews still does not accept Him as Messiah yet. But you know, it's not just the Jew that rejects Him. There are many who are Gentiles who don't accept Him. Speak against Him. Use His name as a curse word. He's written off as unimportant. Did he even exist? Some of the things that are said. Simeon has prophesied that all of this would happen. Question this morning, maybe you're listening and you're unsaved, as we come to our conclusion. Do you fall at this stumbling stone? Are the thoughts of your heart revealed in your rejection of Messiah? See, the prophecy had a personal word for Mary as the mother of Jesus. Verse 35, yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also. Simeon was speaking here about the pain that she would experience as the mother of Jesus when the Son of God was crucified. And we touched on this a couple of weeks ago. Mary was blessed more than other women, but she said that herself in Luke chapter 1. But yet she also suffered sorrow and heartache as the mother of the Lord Jesus. Preacher and commentator R. Kent Hughes puts it like this. He said, the future would include the family's flight to Egypt. It would include her son being misunderstood and rejected. It would include the events leading to the cross. It would include her watching her son die upon that cross. You see, a sword of suffering did indeed pass through her own soul with this heartache. A sword shall pierce through thine own soul also. And yet, setting that aside, as much as we can't really set it aside, she's blessed beyond measure. And still she worshipped her Lord and her Savior. But beloved, this morning as we come to our conclusion, there's comfort in this prophecy for us. Because its fulfillment is further evidence of the enduring provision of God for the Christian. Everything that Simeon said has come to pass. And that simply reinforces the truth of God's great plan of salvation. It simply reinforces for us the integrity, the absolute integrity of the Word of God. You see, friends, this morning we have a great God. A God who provided a Savior. A God who meets every need of His people. What's our responsibility to our God? Our responsibility is by our lives to worship Him for all He has done. You see, while many have fallen at the rock of offense, the child of God clings to the rock of ages. But just to finish this off, it spoke about the fall and rising again of many in Israel. And prophetically speaking, Israel, which has rejected Christ now, will one day turn to Him nationally. Now that will take place after the church age. It will take place following the rapture. It will take place during the tribulation period when the Antichrist, that man of sin, will rise up and will seek to slay every one of them. And they'll look to Messiah. And they will see Him whom they have pierced. And as Simeon says, it will be like a rising again of many in Israel. But for those who accept Christ now, for us who are God's people now, we will know that that takes place. We will be in the Father's house because the church will have gone to be with the Lord. But there is a promise for Israel in the prophecy of Simeon. Now, as we finish, let's thank Him. Let's thank the Lord for His faithfulness. Let's thank the Lord for His provision. And just like Simeon, our response is praise, because He is the one who has prepared the way of salvation through Christ our Lord. You see, in Simeon, we see blessing in God's preparation.